Meet me at the ice cream truck. I'll buy you an ice cream. I'll whip up my drumstick. That will make your eyes gleam. Lick it up quick before it melts on the floor. I got it. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. Give me some more. Okay. Meet me at the ice cream truck. I'll buy you an ice cream. I can test on my luck. You can play on my team. Let's do the banana split on the dance floor. Got it. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. Give me some more. Okay. I met him at the schoolyard round quarter to three.
Hello. We went out for cheese. This is episode one of The Love Bite. My name is Nancy.
And my name is Dr. Rozzy.
And before we begin with today's topic, for those of you who listened to our pilot episode, I'm just going to give you a little review of what happened. We went over... what did we go over? Oh, wait, done. I'm sorry.
Come on. Let's pay attention here. Let's pay attention.
So we talked about how to be safe, sane, and consensual when indulging in your kinky activities and whatnot. We also talked about, we touched upon starting that kind of relationship with your partner and the conversation that needs to happen. And we also talked about doing some research, you know, reading some books, going online. There is a wealth of information about S&M and bondage and DS and just everything.
Basically, any type of play that you are interested in is available online for you to research. And that's one of the things we were talking about. What was it? Maybe like a month ago when we did our pilot episode, that if you want to try it, go find it online because it's there.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, don't blame it on us. We're just giving you that little shove toward that pervy self that's already there.
And obviously, if you're listening, it's because you're already interested. Or maybe just completely hate us and love us at the same time.
Yeah. Or maybe you are a seasoned player and you heard about our podcast. And
by the way, people loved the pilot episode. It got the biggest response we ever had here. Biggest simultaneous users, most callers, and I was getting messages from people that I need to bring it back, and will there be more episodes? So people really loved it.
So we're back, you guys. Back.
You're
by,
back.
I guess, popular demand, maybe. Yeah. Thank you to everybody who listened.
Thank you. And so today's topic is negotiations. And you may be wondering, what the fuck does that have to do with wanting to do kinky stuff and sex and whatnot? But I'll present it to you in this way. If you're going to go buy a car, do you just walk onto the lot and say, that one in blue, please?
Wait, some people do. And I guess the next question would be, are you ultimately then satisfied, like that impulse buy? You go into the store, you're like, oh my God, I love that blouse, and let me get it, and you take it home. And you're like, oh, hell no. This does not look good on me. I don't like it. Blah, 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 for X reason. And then you can't return it because, sorry, no refunds, no exchanges. All sales are final.
And then in your disgust of trying to take it off, you tore it a little bit. So you can't even exchange it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you walk into any kind of decision, I mean, you know, with clothes, it's kind of, those are minor decisions. But with big decisions, generally, you want to talk about it. You want to have a conversation about it. And sex with kink should not be any less serious than those things.
Well, yeah, definitely. When if you guys tuned in to our pilot episode, I kept saying over and over, effective communication is key. And it's so key that that's actually what we're talking about today, that you need to be able to negotiate, whether it's your committed partner, your life partner, your husband, your wife, or just your, I don't know, your booty call, that you're willing to take it to the next level with them. There needs to be that platform with them, that launching platform for your play.
Or your friend, too.
Or your friend. Yes, you know, Friends with Benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, isn't that a movie?
It is.
Oh, ew. Cliche, right?
Uh-huh. We're not going to promote that shit. Nobody's paying us to do that.
Reverse it.
So there's a lot of different things that you want to discuss when you're negotiating. And I guess I want to preface this with saying that there's a lot of different ways to negotiate play, especially depending on what kind of relationship you're in. Maybe you're already in a committed relationship. Maybe you are just play partners. And the level of seriousness and the level of just how, you know, how many questions you're going to be asking each other is going to be different depending on what you're engaging in. So I guess one of the primary things that if you're just barely starting out that you want to define is the roles. Who's what?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of labels out there. There's top, there's bottom, there's dom, there's sub, there's slave, there's master, there's daddy, there's owner, there's pet. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
If it exists in the dictionary, it exists in kinky play.
And this is primarily defined as the way that partners address each other. And in a way, it also kind of, it'll
clear. Pussy is howling.
Aww. Oh, pussycat. Oh, baby. Sorry. I have a weakness for pussies.
We know that. We do know that. But continue.
So in a lot of ways, it'll clarify what that person's role is. So it's very important when you're having that conversation, what does it mean to you to be a slave? What does it mean to you to be a sub? Because that will kind of just lay down the framework for your conversation.
So then I have a question here, kind of just playing devil's advocate. What if I'm completely new to this and I'm like, I don't even know what I would be, but I'm interested in this. Can I still verbalize that? Be like, hey, you know what? I think I want to be a bottom.
Sure.
And it goes into the arrangement of the roles and stuff. And then also if you are into switch play too, right? Because that doesn't mean you have to stay in one role.
Oh, yes. Very good point. Very good point. So just because you identify as a bottom or a sub does not mean that you can't switch that role. That's not something that is written in concrete. You know, it just, but again, you know, something like that requires pretty effective communication with the person that you're participating in that play with.
Have you ever heard of a relationship working where there's two people that kind of fall to the same side, like two subs or two doms? Does that ever happen?
You know, I haven't heard of relationships where it's two subs or two bottoms where it's super, super effective because they have these very similar needs and it's kind of tricky to meet each other's needs in that realm. I do know couples that are very successful couples and they're both tops or both dominant or, you know, what have you. And they each have their own subs. They each have their own subs.
So pretty much they get along with each other, but they also have open relationships to meet those needs that are...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what you find a lot is that, you know, you can be in a romantic relationship and a vanilla relationship per se, and you can still have someone on the side with whom you engage in these activities with. And I mean, I guess that kind of takes us then to polyamory, but I guess it also, you know, depends on, well, are you going to be sexual with that person? Or what is that person going to be doing for you? Say, for instance, me and Dr. Rozzi are in a relationship and she wants nothing to do with any of the kinky stuff. But we have this conversation where we say, hey, you know what? She recognizes that I have these needs. She can't meet them. It's not a reflection of her and I and how we get along, but she understands that it's something that I need. So with effective communication, I can get it elsewhere, and it won't have some kind of effect on our relationship. I don't know if that answers your question.
And it kind of comes in where the consent of both partners is there. Like, there's the mutual understanding of, hey, you know, I understand that I can't give you what you need. I can't meet those needs. So I'll let you go play with someone else, but your intimacy, like the romanticism, everything else stays with me. The play goes with someone else.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Dr. Rossi doesn't feel like being a sadistic bitch and fucking up my vag because she's way too professional for that. She's too buttoned up. It's not going to happen. But, you know, far be it from her to, you know, prevent me from getting that elsewhere. But now that as Dr. Rozzi was speaking, I guess a relationship between two subs might work if, like, they had someone coming in and participating with them together, like doming the both of them. I have heard, actually, now that I think about it, I have heard of some married couples that do that. They'll bring in a third person to go ahead and crack that whip, per se.
And then the negotiation comes in there, like, okay, we're going to talk about, okay, what is it that we need? What are the submissive needs that we need met? Who's the person that we're going to bring in, trusting this person, and negotiating all this with them? Like, so explaining the safe words and explaining everything to that person that's going to be coming in to meet our needs.
Right. And so then it's the needs and the expectations, mm-hmm, of both parties or all parties involved, I guess, in this case. Because there may be some things that, you know, I like that you don't like. Or maybe...
like, from our pilot episode, you can do certain stuff that I definitely can't because our hard limits are completely different. So if we were in a relationship together and you being submissive and me being a bottom, if, you know, if I can choose that word, definitely we would have to come in somebody who can top us or dominate us, whatever the word that we want to choose. But... okay, her hard limits are completely different than mine.
Right, right.
Don't stick it up my butt.
And since
it's not coming up there. Exit only. And we know the pencil incident. So I don't know if you know the pencil incident, but there's a pencil incident.
There is a pencil incident.
And chopsticks.
We have a guest in here, and he's just looking at us. I hope he's not judging us. Because if you're judging
only
me.
Only Judy can judge us.
If you're judging me, guess what? I judged you way before you judged me.
Damn.
So. I'm kidding. Totally kidding.
Let's not get crazy up in here.
Oh, my goodness.
On behalf of her, excuse us.
Oh, goodness. Anyway, sorry, tangent. So you and I guess, you know, well, for the sake of this conversation, we'll just use Dr. Rousey and I as a relationship. So, you know, part of that conversation would then be, you know, what are your likes and your dislikes? What do you expect? And how are we going to fulfill each other's needs? And in order to determine all of those things, there's this kind of huge conversation that has to happen. This conversation doesn't have to happen every single fucking time that we're going to do something, but it should happen. And there should be check-ins with this kind of thing because it may change.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like your business conference. You're going into it. You're setting up basically your goals. Kind of for those of you that have jobs that where they have certain productivity or certain expectations, or if you have a therapist, you set up your goals and you're not going to come in and say, hey, you know, so we're working on doing da 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 every single time. You're not going to do that. What you're going to do is as time goes on, every certain amount of time, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks, mm-hmm. then check in and be like, you know, how has this been working for you? Mm-hmm. But especially the check in after the first time the actual play is initiated.
Right.
That one is key. And then sporadically after that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the next portion of the conversation, and this actually I think is a part that probably should, I mean, I think it should happen pretty regularly, checking in about limits. there are boundaries that should never be crossed. There are boundaries that maybe with, you know, a little pushing and a little nudging, your dominant partner, well, I'm speaking from a submissive point of view because I'm so not dumb, but your dominant partner can guide you through that. If there are things that are difficult for you, your partner can help you through it. And I mean, at least for me personally, I think sometimes play, if done correctly and safely, it can be a little therapeutic. Or cathartic is the right word, I think, maybe, mm-hmm. is what I'm looking for.
It can be because it's certain underlying need, unconscious needs that you have, wherever they stem from. We're not here to figure out where your things stem from. We're here to provide you with the tools of, hey, you know what? I know that I have these feelings and I don't know where they're coming from. I just know that they're there and I want to be able to get them met.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely that's one of the things where it can be a healing process. It can be a healing process if it's done safe. If it's done unsafe, it's like driving while drunk. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to be safe.
Mm-mm.
There's a lot of danger to be happening there. A lot of emotional scarring for the person.
No kidding. And I mean, and just as there are these psychological boundaries, there's also physical limits, you know, I don't like being pinched. I really hate it. And pinching is not.
So if I was your top and with a little nudging, a little probing, I can maybe move you. Is that like a hard limit for you?
That's more of a soft limit. You could probably push me.
So, okay, so I probably wouldn't be able to, you know, I don't know, stick you with like push pins or anything like that.
No. Push pins is different. Are maybe close pins? Is that what you're?
There we go. Okay. Those things.
Mm-hmm.
Where maybe, but maybe I can give you a little pinch here and there.
Yeah, maybe.
It would be a conversation that we could have, a negotiation.
Yeah, it would be. And then in that conversation, I would probably explore with you, well, you know, maybe not clothespin specifically because the image of a clothespin, I have something pretty negative attached to that. Mm-hmm. But maybe we can try some other kind of instrument that has like the same, I guess, function as a clothespin.
I'm going to put little paper clips on you.
Paper clips. Oh, and then so, I mean, there's things like that, but there's also things like, you know, maybe you have bad knees. Maybe you have bad knees and you can't spend 20 minutes at a time on your knees. You need a break. and maybe your partner is into pretty high protocol. And high protocol refers to a very formalized way of, I guess, just behaving with your partner. And maybe they want you on your knees next to them while they're sitting on the sofa and they're watching the game. You need a break. That's just a physical thing. There's no negotiating that. You have pain and it's going to get uncomfortable. And for some people, it may take them out of that headspace that they're in. So that's something else that you should talk about. there are some of us that are professionals. We have a 9-to-5 job and we need to suit up every morning to go to work.
Okay, she said suit up. Those of you that watch How I Met Your Mother, she's quoting him. What's his name?
Barney Stinson.
Barney, there we go.
Suit up, yes. So, you know, maybe because I have that kind of job, I need to not have marks on my face or on my neck or any part of my body that would be visible while I'm at work.
On your boobs that are visible right now.
Well, they're visible right now, though, because I don't know. Do I need a reason for them to be visible?
not you. You're a flasher. She's a flasher.
Shut your face. Anyways.
But it's the truth, though.
Anywho.
Why are you covering them up now?
Well, because now you made me feel really self-conscious about my breasts.
No, they're fine.
Thank you. Aw, shucks.
Oh, shush.
Oh, goodness. Anyways. You know, that's just, kind of the short list of physical limits that you should be aware of. So, as we said, with the different types of play and the different types of relationships that you may be in, you might need a different type of conversation, kind of a checklist format, if you will. It could be that you're just engaging in a scene with someone. And the word scene is kind of just like this, I don't know, I guess it's kind of this lingo that's used for something that's pretty temporary. Maybe, you know, it's just a one-night thing versus every third weekend, this is what we're going to engage in. So you may need to define what types of play are not okay with you. I'm going to say...
So for me, hard limit, no anal play. That's mm-hmm. it. We're never going to do it up the butt.
Yeah, never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
Okay, so yeah, so that's...
There's no pushing, there's no budging.
Exactly.
No.
So that's the type of that's the kind of conversation you'd be having. For you, it would be no ass play. For me, it would be no blood play and also no scat. And it would be...
Oh, yeah, definitely no scat of any type. No scat, no golden showers. Scat, for those of you that don't know, is... And I think we said it in the pilot episode, it's feces. Feces play. Feces in your mouth, feces on your chest, feces everywhere.
Stop it!
People don't know what it is, and they're probably like, what's scat play?
I do not want to imagine poop on my breasts. I just really don't. And you know what? That really,
but some people do. I bet you somebody out there, maybe none of our listeners personally yet, but there's people, like, if you go on certain websites, I saw a guy from Australia pooping into a pitcher, his own pitcher, and then drinking it straight out of the pitcher, taking a shot of poop.
You know what? And if that's you, listener, I am not judging you. I'm not. I'm really, really not. I'm just saying that for myself, that's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. That crosses my boundaries.
Mm-hmm. And don't pee on me either. Mm-mm. No golden showers.
Yeah. So see, this is the type of conversation that then would happen, is that kind of play would not happen between me and Dr. Rozzy. So
so we're going to take a short break, and we are actually going to listen to The Sex That I Need by Avenue D.
I'm
skin since puberty. I want to uncut Latino with a libido the size of Reno, Nevada. To bring me to my black splatters, a dick fatter than a beer can. Lay down standard in the back of his van. He sports Tommy, Adidas, boot, boot, Timberland. Pinky ring on his hand. This wish is my command. I'll suck his dick on the can or on the Puerto Rican sand. That's my man with an insane fate. And when he gets paid, I get paid. And when I get laid, I'm glad he stayed. Cause there's nothing I like more than foreskin. I drop my chin so I can fit it all in. And then he eats my ass like he eats rice and beans until the plate's clean. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Just the other day, I got a blowjob from a whole job with no job. Seen him in the bar, batting his eyelashes. Show me where your cash is, I'll show you where my stash is. His ass is on my bed. Headboard hit his head till his head turned red. In and out was the motion, KY was the lotion. That's the way it goes, girl, when you fucking see your toes curl. I rocked this world with mad cinema. Hot like Panama, shot like an enema. I'm sending your ass back to the store to get some rubbers so I can change the covers.
This is the kind of man that I want. This is the kind of sex that I need. This is the kind of man that I want. This is the kind of sex that I need. This is the kind of man that I want. This is the kind of sex that I need. This is the kind of man that I want. This is the kind of sex that I need.
Well, it won't be long before it takes on my thong.
But it wasn't a thong until you put it on.
Shut the fuck up. I'm the one getting laid here. He's back from the bodega with a case of beer and a bag of weed. So I'm on my knees, pulling out the seeds. He wants to squeeze my 34 B's until I can't breathe. Someone got some poppers in a bottle of lube before he bangs me to the back with that rough rider attitude. The routine, we fuck on the rug till the sheets stay clean. Damn, my man is heaven sent. He got me horny like the ex-president. Just thinking of my man's big dick in my face, and then he comes in my face and then runs out of the place. I don't care, he'll be back cause he loves his sex, and when he's done, his friends will be over fast. You got a problem with me? You should get your ass off of Avenue D.
Do you like the type of guy that works at the pizza place? Sweat on his face, mustache above his lips, open shirt, gold chain, and a crucifix. I like the type of guy that's the Eastville style. Chill for a while if he's versatile, but the bottom direction. Give me his ass and give me affection. Did I happen to mention?
No, I don't think you did.
Well, I like to keep my man in the 718 cause I'm in 212 and got things to do.
Like what?
Like whatever. Wanna leave this with no shame behind me, but all I see is his name on my caller ID, which reminds me of the time we took three ecstasy. You know, one thing leads to another. I see him on the weekends.
What about the weekdays?
That's when I'm busy messing with his brother.
This is the kind of man that I want. This is the kind of sex that I need. This is the kind of man that I want. This is the kind of sex that I need. This is the kind of man that I want. This is the kind of sex that I need. This is the kind of man that I want. This is the kind of sex that I need. This is the kind of man that I want. This is the kind of sex that I need. This is the kind of man that I want. This is the kind of sex that I need. This is the kind of man that I want. This is the kind of sex that I need. This is the kind of man that I want. This is the kind of sex that I need.
Well, you tried it just for once, found it alright for kicks. But now you find out that it's a habit that sticks. And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with dirty magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on your jeans. And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Getting us off, but you still keep a beat and you meet to pulp and you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. You're kicking Sanova, you're no chose epic. Live on a fucking yourself to death. Orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict.
Bueno, hello.
Bueno.
Hola.
Hola, este es Kitty.
Hola, Kitty, ¿cómo estás?
Bien, ¿ustedes?
Muy bien, gracias.
Katie, I've heard a lot about you.
Good or bad?
I am offended.
No, I've heard good stuff, and I've heard and I've listened to your show, and you're just so cute. And I remember that I asked Dr. Rozzi if you were a lesbian because I thought you were kind of cute.
Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you that.
I had actually asked about you.
You're cool with that, that right? You're cool with that.
The reason I had asked Dr. Rozzi, I'm sorry, about you is because, like, I was just like, is your friend, like, super hot? Because her voice is, like, super hot.
Aw, Kitty. That's so sweet.
No, you did. Didn't I tell you?
You told me that a friend, but you didn't tell me who it was.
Yeah, it's my bad. It's Kitty. It's Boosie.
Oh, Pussycat.
It's me.
Well, no, I'm
not going
the other way.
But if we ever do, mate, pull with me.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my god, you guys. You're going to turn on our listeners with your lesbo talk.
We're not. There's no lesbo talk going on. And Kitty hasn't even said whether or not she's a lesbian. Are you a lesbian or are you a bisexual?
Put our listener on the spot.
Curious?
There's yes, of course. Absolutely.
Nancy will knock the curiosity out of that one.
That's why I said be gentle with me if we ever do meet.
Oh, Kitty. Me estás retando.
Jole. Sounds like a dare.
Uh-huh.
Oh, dang.
So did you have a question for us, Kitty?
Yes, I did have a question. Okay, say, like, someone's into, like, a certain scene that they're thinking about dabbling in. Like, for instance, I was watching, what is it? Actually, they had a fetish thing on, with that Earl show. My name is Earl.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It was kind of funny because I guess he was in the woods and he was, I don't know if he was drunk or high or whatever, and there was like a furries convention or there was like a furries group kind of like waiting to get it on, and he tried to like hook up with one of them, but they're like, what the heck, because he wasn't dressed up. So he went up to a real bear and like tried to like to do it with the bear and he got all fucked up. But that was funny. Okay, but say someone is into that like furries or something, you know, what's the... Now with, I know, like, the internet age, but it's so much out there. Like, how are people hooking up with other people that might be into the same thing? I guess would be my main question. Or, like, what would be the safest route? Because there's a lot of...
Yeah, there is definitely a lot of weird people on the internet. I mean, kinky or not, there's just some really not safe people out there. But there are social networking sites that are... That cater to the kink community.
Hey, real quick, what is a furry? I think. I don't understand.
Well, do you want to explain?
No, please.
Furries are people who will like full on dress up in like animal costumes. Are they
mascots? Right.
Yeah, like it can be like you dress up like as a rabbit, as a bear, and you have sex while you're in these costumes.
I have a leopard costume.
Furry. Okay, see, and then there's like they're tailored because they have the like full-on furry community, like they actually have little flaps where they have sex through, so they never take off the costumes and they just have sex through these flaps, so it could be full-on, right? Am I missing anything?
I don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not really familiar with the whole furry thing. I'm not.
Okay, well, that's from the extent of my knowledge. That's what it is. Full-on costumes, little flaps where you...
See, I thought it was, like, men with a lot of back hair. I thought that's what furries were.
What?
I thought it was men with a lot of back hair.
No, that would be more, what, bear play or something like that?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't know about hair play. You should write that one down and look it up. Men, my kink is hairy men.
Hairy men were called bears or something.
That's
like
what
that.
I thought, but I know that's more in the
that's
gay
specifically
community.
The gay community.
Yeah, though, right?
But I wonder if it does transcend into kink and just oh my god, he's a bear and that turns me on.
Yeah, I'm stumped on
or maybe
that one.
The hairy guy doesn't have to wear a freaking costume.
Dun dun dun!
They won't even know he's not in costume.
Wow, if it's that extreme.
He won't even need a flap.
Wow, if it's that extreme, I don't know.
It's a dig for stuff.
Well, manscaping never hurt anybody.
Yeah, that's
manscaping
true.
Doesn't hurt.
It does, actually.
Well, it might hurt for a second, but then it feels really good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We have a couple websites that we know, and they're very trustworthy at like screening people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so recommend to you. And I don't know if we are we allowed to say?
I don't know.
Websites on the air?
Yeah.
Okay. So then in that case, I'm going to refer you to FetLife.com. It is the, and for everybody listening, it is the Facebook/MySpace of anything kinky you can think about. And it's pretty cool because it's very safe and there's a lot of, there's so many resources as far as like asking questions and there's like discussion groups and all kinds of shit. I really like strongly recommend that you check that out. If you want to, if your goal is to hook up with someone, not hook up in the sense of like, let's hook up
but
and
possibly
fuck,
like just start learning about
it. Yeah, to start learning about it, to make friends or whatever. That's definitely the place to go. FetLife.com. Yay.
Yay.
I don't know how else to end that. But, I mean,
on
and there's
Craigslist.
Well, I'm sorry. That's I'm judging.
She's a judger.
I'm a judger.
I wouldn't judge.
Well, that's why I'm was asking because, like, I would think most people, like, with anything, like, they'd be like, oh, let's see if Craigslist, but it's so risky.
Because, yeah, and I would not recommend Craigslist or anything like that. And I think most people, what happens is sometimes, because they don't know anything and everybody knows about Craigslist, and they'll type it in.
Yeah.
But definitely FetLife is a place where we've both done research there. And it actually, it's helpful. Like, I've learned plenty of stuff on there. And even if you don't participate on the forums, there's a lot of forums that you can read about.
And there's also a lot of, there's a lot of groups on there that meet, like, real time. In fact, that's where I was earlier today. Mm-hmm. I was meeting up with a group. And, there's a lot of groups that meet here in the LA area. And also for people that are not in the LA area, I mean, these groups are everywhere.
That's where I saw the Australian guy. Eating his own poo. I don't know. He was on somebody else's page, and I was like, what is that? And then I, by accident, being curious, I clicked on the picture, and there was poo in the picture.
So, yeah, FetLife is one place to go. There's also Yahoo groups, but, I mean, for Yahoo, like, you kind of I haven't had that great of an experience because it's really just having to find a needle in a haystack kind of situation because there's a lot of groups that aren't really legit.
Like, hit and miss.
Yeah.
Meetup groups, and all that stuff.
I've tried meetup groups, but the thing is that because this scene is kind of underground, meetup. I haven't had much luck. At least whenever I go search, I don't find anything ever. But a lot of people in this community are pretty private, to say the least. So I mean, I don't think you'll find anything in meetup. But hey, you know, maybe one day.
Hey.
Who knows?
It was FetLife, or what was it? Can you spell it out?
It's FetLife.
Oh, fet.
Like fetish.
Mm-hmm.
Fetish. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Got you.
Mm-hmm. And it's
cool.
Free to join,
you.
And it's fun to make a profile, and you can add all your fetishes to your profile. It's quite nice. It's quite nice.
And whenever you get a chance, Dr. Roz, you should send me a picture of you.
Oh, shit.
Okay, I was about to put some up on blast, but I'll text you right now.
Well, then.
Okay, then. Sounds good. All right, I'll talk to you girls later.
All right, take care.
Bye, Kitty.
Okay, bye, girl.
Bye. We should take a picture of you right now, flashing your boobies.
No, stop it.
You're the one that was flirting.
I'm not
so
flirting.
Whip them out.
I'm not going to whip them out. I am a dainty woman. Thank you.
You are not a dainty woman.
Hello.
You're a slore.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You
know what? I've been listening to the show. I listened the last time that you guys were on, and I totally loved it. And right now, you guys have an awesome topic. And I don't know much in terms about, like, fetishes or kinks. And something that I'm not really familiar with, but one of the things that I thought maybe I wanted to get a little bit of help with was my husband and I have talked about for a while now having like a threesome.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just wondering, I mean, I like how you talked about negotiating. I'm just wondering, like, what type of things do you think would be really important for me to negotiate with? I'm the one that's like really reluctant do it, just because I don't know, like how you were saying emotionally, like I don't know if I could deal with emotionally more so than physically. So I'm just wondering, you know, I thought maybe I can get some advice.
Honestly, I think don't dismiss your apprehension. Don't dismiss it because it already, if you're kind of going into it like, well, if it pleases him, then I'll do it. Then what is it? What's in it for you? Are you kind of just giving your consent for him because, you know, it'll be something he enjoys? And, you know, if you're not going to get anything out of it, then why put yourself through that turmoil?
Right.
You know, because bringing a third person in is a big fucking deal, especially if your relationship has always been monogamous and it's always been you two. That's a huge, huge fucking step. So is this something that you've been wanting also for a while, or are you just having some like second thoughts? Can you give us a little bit more background?
Well, yeah, it's something that I've wanted to as well, to kind of just try it. Kind of curious. My fear is kind of like, I'm curious about it, and we kind of role play it every once in a while, but it's just kind of like, just to kind of get us off. Mm-hmm. But it's not that I'm afraid that it's like, once I try it, it's like, oh shit, what did I do, you know?
You're like, you will have opened up this can of worms.
And I won't know how to close it up in terms of like emotionally, because our relationship has been monogamous for like forever. We've been married for 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I'm very comfortable with.
Right.
Kind of like that fear, like what will happen afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think also if you haven't already, I think it's really important for you both to research and do some reading on it, because, and I mean, it probably sounds like I'm a broken record or something, but there really is so much that you can learn from when you read about threesomes. I mean, honestly, I said it in our last podcast, we're not an authority on a lot of these things. We just really like talking about them and getting other people to start having a discussion about them, because let's face it, more than likely, a whole lot of us are perverts and nobody likes to talk about it. Just saying. So, yeah. I mean,
you love talking about it.
But I love talking about it. But there are other people who don't have anybody to have that discussion with, and we're simply giving you that platform. But anyways, if there was a way that you guys could maybe hook up with another couple, not literally, but hook up with another couple who has maybe already gone down that road, you know, talk about what worked for them, what didn't work for them. You may have just heard that I mentioned that FetLife.com. There's a lot of groups. There's a lot of people on there. There's a wealth of information. There's people who are willing to just talk to you. You ask them a question. You send them a question randomly and, you know, they'll open up to you.
One of the things for FetLife, it's you compared it to Facebook, and basically, like, let's say you log on, you make your own account, and you go and you list as threesomes as one of your thing, and you can actually post the thing, like, says, you know, it could be just the question that you asked us. You can post it on the forum, and everybody will give you their experience, and they'll share it with you. And then you can start doing your own little research about, okay, these are some of the pros, and these are some of the cons.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to weigh them out and see, okay, is this worth it, like, dabbing your feet into, and that my relationship is strong enough to survive this? Or, you know what? It's great talking about it, and it's great the role play and the fantasy, but the actual physical of doing it, probably not the best idea.
What I can also recommend to you is Google, but not so much in the general way, but that there are a lot of people that blog about their experiences in, I guess, this alternative lifestyle. So sometimes you can come across blogs where people do write about their experiences and what it's like to be in a threesome.
Can I comment as a man on this subject, actually?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, please.
Sure.
So what I would do is the night before that you're gonna have the threesome, have sex with your husband and just fucking rock his world the night before. And that way, you know, when you try it out, you'll have the confidence that, you know, you know your husband really likes being with you and you please him in all the ways that he likes. And then I think you'll go into that experience with a little more confidence.
I think that
does
was
that make any sense at all?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That made a lot
I don't
of
know
sense.
What I'm talking about.
No. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to yourself, Jeremy. You know what you could also do is, I just thought about this. You can also make it kind of a, almost kind of a like a ritual kind of thing. Maybe also before you engage in the actual activity of being sexual with a third person, maybe there's some kind of exchange of words that you can go through with your husband, or just something special, something that only you two know about. And you can start it off like that, and then you can end it with something like that. So it could be, you know, it'll signify that beginning to the act, and then it'll also signify the end, where we go back to normal. We go back to it just being you and I. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I like that, because something real personal for both of us.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, in a sense, you're making a fantasy come to life, but, you know, for at least what it sounds like with both of you is that this is more than anything, it's a fantasy, right?
Well, I guess I could give you a little bit more. we went to a strip joint. We did that once. Mm-hmm. I've never gone. My first time, it was actually my first experience, like, just being a bit more physical with another woman. And I enjoyed that. And that was comfortable. So we've kind of pushed it a little bit, you know, pushed it, because we had always just more than, it was just like a fantasy. It's been a fantasy for a while now. So we kind of experienced that. And it was good. I liked it. My fear is, like, you know, I don't know. I honestly, to this point, I'm not quite sure what my biggest fear is. It's like, what if I like it so much that it's like I will become more often? It's like, then that kind of changes our relationship from being, you know, monogamous to being open. What if emotionally I can't handle it, like knowing that my husband's with another? Like, I just don't know. So it's like,
well, you know, and that's why it'll definitely be important to have a discussion afterwards, after that initial experience. You know, you talk about what worked, what didn't work. How did you feel? How did he feel? You know, all of those things. Afterwards, you check in. And that's then maybe that would be when you would have to discuss, okay, what does this mean for us as a couple? And are we going to do this again?
So my question, because I don't know if I understood correctly. You guys went to a strip club together and you got a dance, or you both got a dance?
We both got one separately, though.
Oh, okay. So maybe one of the... Oh, sorry?
No, I was just going to say, I got one first, and then he got one too.
Okay, because then the next thing would be a suggestion is starting off in baby steps. We talked about this in the pilot episode, just definitely starting off with baby steps, where, okay, so you guys got them separately, then make it a joint thing, and you both get a dance. And you guys can each get a song or however it is. And then basically how Nancy said it, you started off with one, you seal the deal with the other on the way home or whatever it is. You talk about it like, oh, how was it for you actually watching me get a dance? Oh, well, this is how I felt. And, oh, you know, this is how I felt. Like, I, with my partner, I've done that. Like, my partner went off and got a dance, you know, on their own. I got a dance on my own, and then we got a dance together. And personally, I loved it. I was like, oh my God, this is really sexy. Would I take it further than that? No, but that's my hard limit, where I know I couldn't share because I'm very selfish. I'm stingy and I don't share. So that could be your movement into it, but it's a baby step where it's something that you'd probably be able to get over and be like, okay, yep, we're never doing that again.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if anything, what we want to leave you with is check in with yourself, check in with how you're feeling about it, and check in with him. You can never, ever, ever check in too often about a delicate subject like this. So we hope that we've helped, or at least have gotten you on this kind of like spring pad to think about some stuff.
Definitely. Like, we've never researched anything, and I really like all of the suggestions all three of you guys gave. It's awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No
and
problem.
Maybe I'll check in with you guys. We'll let you guys know.
Oh, please do let us know. Please
call us back and let us know how your, even if it's just research, how it's gone,
mm-hmm.
how your journey's going.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, and thank you for the show, and thanks for the advice. Hope you guys have a good night.
You too.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, she was so sweet. She was very sweet.
She sounds very sweet.
And, you know, all of her. I hesitate to say fears, but I guess all of her apprehensions are completely normal.
Mm-hmm.
That it's completely normal, especially if you've been in such a long relationship. I mean, you know, there's it's not about feeling insecure. It's about this could change shit for me. This could really change the foundation.
And she really verbalized that too. Yeah. She said that, you know, it could go both ways. I either can't stand it and I never want to do this again and I'm going to be really upset, or, hey, I love it.
Mm-hmm. Who could that be?
Bueno.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, ladies.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing good, thank you.
Now, with who do we have the pleasure? Who is this?
Well, Dr. Rossi knows me. She sees me on a regular basis.
I take care
of some of her beauty needs.
Oh, shucks.
I'm enjoying the show just as I did, a couple weeks ago for the pilot.
Oh, thank you for listening.
Definitely. I was looking forward to negotiation.
Mm.
And I've been married for quite a few years now. It's been about 5 years. We have a child. And, you know, with busy life and, you know, our family and everything, it can make it pretty tough to find time to be intimate and still be like a, you know, young, sexy couple. So when it comes down to it, it seems like only one of us will be in the mood. So either he'll get upset because I'm tired, or I'll get upset because he's tired. How can we negotiate to where we can meet in the middle with that? Because we've tried the, schedule it, maybe we can do it, on this day a week and try to make it fun, but it seems like it doesn't work. It feels very unnatural. So how can we meet in the middle with that? And while doing it in our home after hours, because getting away is very tough.
Like after hours when the kitty's asleep?
Yes. Yeah, deep sleep.
Well, definitely one deep sleep. Wow. It has to be a deep sleep, right?
Yeah.
You go, girl. No, but yeah. I think one of the things definitely, and I'm going to sound like a broken record too, but like the effective communication is definitely one of the things. And like definitely putting it all on the table, like, okay, hey, what's going on? What are some of the conflicts that we're having, like in regards to this? And if you've already had that conversation, try to spring it on him. Like I know, and we have two guys in the rooms right now. And I know sometimes when, even in our own personal relationship, work gets in the way, school gets in the way, mm-hmm. like putting on that sexy thing. Like that, remember that one time when we went shopping and we were just shopping for stuff?
Yeah.
And then that night I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to surprise my honey and put on my little thing and popped out into the bedroom. And it was like, whoa, just taken complete by surprise. Be very spontaneous, I would say. Be very spontaneous in those moments where both of you are, in a really good mood. If, like, there's a neighbor or somebody that can, like, take away, hey, can you just watch my kid really quick? We have to run an errand. And even if it's putting the radio really loud in the shower, whatever it may be, if the baby's asleep, your husband's in the shower, sneaking into the shower with him. It's those subtle surprises. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Jeremy, would you like to chime in?
That sounds great, but I'd also like to say that this is, a very common problem with not only with people with families and kids, but, just busy people, that are couples. And so, you got to be spontaneous. That just makes it all that much better, when you're not expecting it.
And, yes.
Yeah, that's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I must admit that when we do actually, we're able to make it happen, with fireworks and lightning and everything, so it's wonderful. So sometimes it's like that little time in between maybe kind of, builds up that anticipation and whatnot, and, it's amazing, but I know that, having a healthy sex life, it's good for you. So I'd like to have it more often. And, it's tough. It's really, really tough. So I'd like to be able to initiate it to do it, more often. But I don't really know. Yeah, the spontaneousness is great. But, that's a tough one. It can be tough.
One of the other things is doing everything but. Like, when your kid's around and maybe he or she is watching TV and doing his or her thing, and it's the subtle play that happens.
Yeah.
It's the foreplay. It's completely all about the foreplay. We talked to, whenever we did our pilot episode, we talked about sense play. And it's things like that, like the kissing, the touching, things like that, that build up, that kind of begins to get you and him in the mood where it's like, okay, we need to put the kid down because it's time to go.
You know, and there's also very small cues that you can come up with. That again, it's something between only you and him. You know, maybe when you feel his hand running across the lower end of your back, maybe that can mean I love you. Or maybe when he winks his eye at you, that means I can't wait to do you later. You know, little things like that. You know,
I mean, I can't wait to do.
It can, I mean, it could be that. It, you know, there's also other. There's. I just thought of this other thing. There's also these toys, these remote control toys.
Yes.
There's an inch. Actually, I just got one. It's like this really, it's like this little egg and it's pink and it goes inside my JJ. And then someone else has the control. It's almost like a keychain thing.
Mm-hmm.
It looks perfectly normal. And, it works from like, I don't know, I think the range is like 40 feet. And it kind of, you can increase the vibration or decrease it, whatever you want to do. Something like that. It's pretty fucking subtle. It's pretty subtle. Only you and him would know about it. So, I mean, you know, maybe thinking outside of the box and thinking about those things that can also help to build up to when you are able to have sex.
And another thing, and a lot of couples do this, and we don't realize the impact of it, but taking away from the kink, just speaking from like a clinical point of view, never fight in the bedroom. Never, ever, ever fight in the bedroom. Because if that's where you always fight, if that's always where there's disagreement, or if that's always where there's like a negative mood, most of us, when there's kids, well, hopefully, most people, when there's kids in the house, they're only having sex in their bedroom, unless if the kid's not around, you know? And if this is a place where there's always fights, once you get there, the body holds a lot of memories.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be like, that's one of the other things that can kill the mood. So one of the things, and I know it sounds very like, oh my God, but never go to bed angry and never fight in the bedroom. If you have to go fight outside, like I know people who actually, they're friends of my partner and they will actually fight with walkie-talkies. They have little walkie-talkies and one of them will go to one side of the house and the other one will go to the other side of the house and they'll start arguing and then they'll start laughing because it's like, why are we even arguing? But it kills the argument in half and they actually have pretty good karma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, I feel like we're just kind of, we're giving you all these tips, but it, you know, essentially it does come down to maybe, I don't know, time management. I mean, if you have a lot of things going on, you're right. It can be very hard to get some sex in there. Definitely. But you know, the time that you do have to wait, use it as foreplay. Use it as foreplay.
Yeah.
And that will definitely make your sex a whole lot more enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the tip about the toy. That sounds very fun.
Oh, yeah.
And also kind of like our code words and gestures. I think that we will definitely give those a try.
You know what? When we get this posted online, I'm going to post a link just for you with that toy, that specific toy that I'm talking about, and it'll be just
okay.
For you.
Okay. Awesome. I will definitely be waiting for it then.
Thank you so much for calling
in. Thank you again, ladies, for everything. I will continue to tune in.
Sweet.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
Okay. Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Well.
Hey, so we're going to – this is kicking off – a weekly program, right? We're going to shoot for that?
Yep, we're going to here every Sunday.
Great.
If you'll have us.
Invading your space.
Uh-huh.
Of course.
Wanting to clean your kitchen.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys,
that's how our show started today. Let's just put your stuff up on blast.
Yes.
Nancy is really kinky 24/7, even though she claims
kinky 24/7. Well, no,
she's
I am kinky.
She's trying to clean right now.
Well, okay. It's not. It's just.
And for her own selfish pleasure.
No, no. Listeners, let me just say. I really. Okay, when I walked in, I love how organized everything is here with Jeremy. I was very, very pleased. Oh, there's somebody calling. Well, I guess my story will have to wait. Hello.
Hello, I wanted to talk to the love bite.
Hi. You're on with us. Hi.
Hello.
How can we help you? What can we do for you?
Well, I have a question, and I'm like listening to the radio show like in mono, so I'm trying to turn it off. I'm like the volume is like all jacked up. I'm trying to get it to stop because I'm listening. I'm like, oh wait.
I think I know who this is.
Oh really?
Yes.
Wait, you can call me Honey Badger Henrietta because Henrietta don't give a fuck.
Honey Badger Henry. See, and you know what? I was telling the guy that's in here with us and he's listening. I was telling he's kind of cute.
Cute enough for me to kick in the face?
Wow.
Please tell everyone about your PhDs, please.
I have two PhDs. I have one in not giving a fuck and the second in kicking your ass.
You're making her blush.
Well, stop it.
Am I comedic gold?
You are comedic gold. Oh, goodness. I'm so glad you listened. I'm so glad you listened.
Yeah, I just got home and I tuned in. And, just a question came to mind and just wanted to say hi.
Oh, yes. Well, hello. And what is your question? I hope we can answer it.
Well, I've been curious about this for a while now. It's been about a year and 6 months since it happened, and I've been wondering if there's a way to, you know, get by this problem or if there's a solution to this. And basically, a year ago in January, I ended up developing very strong emotions for a man I barely know. And by barely knew, I'm going to tell you how we first met. When we first met, he was drunk off his ass, and he hits on me, and he tries to get me to go into his hotel room, and he doesn't even introduce himself to me. And, you know, my natural response is to go, no, 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 when he kept pushing it and pushing it. That was just the same answer I kept giving him, just flat out no. And so he goes off, and then I go, you know, go to my friends, and I go, did you see that asshole? What he fucking did? He tries to, you know, get me to fuck him, and I don't even know him.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on my way, and then I see him again the second time, and it was after that. I have no idea why it happened. I mean, like I said, I barely knew him, and our first encounter wasn't very pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And this is literally the second time I was in a room with him, and then after that, I just noticed very strong emotions.
Hmm.
And I didn't know why this happened at all, and it confused the fuck out of me.
Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, basically, you know, I got over it after a while, and I just figured it was a biological reaction, like I smelled his pheromones, I don't know, it was his energy, you know, whatever scientific bullshit you want to put on it. It was something I think my body just liked about him and his genetics and just wanted to make a baby with him because, I'm serious, that was all I could think about for, like, the next 8-9 months or more was just, I want a baby. I want a baby. I want this guy's baby. It felt, I don't really want to call it love because I didn't really have a reason to love this man. It was just my body. It was just a biological response, you know, from my body to produce a baby. And sadly, throughout my sexual history, I have never had an orgasm during sex or another person, you know, giving me pleasure, you know, like an orgasm. I mean, I've been intimate, but it never really physically felt good, you know, like you see in pornos and they're like,
yeah,
thrashing about, like, you know, the movie, what was it, Showgirls, and that woman's having like a seizure in the pool, like that. Like, I've never had sex like that, where it made me want to go like that. Like, when I'm having sex, I'm just laying there like, oh, okay. Oh, you're done. Oh, okay. You want to go get some chocolate? Okay. Kind of like that. You know, like, oh, it's over.
man.
But it's never been like the sex and the intimacy I've had has never been like, God damn. You know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, is there a way to trigger this response so that, you know, sex feels good all the time for me and I don't have to wait for some random drunken asshole, you know, to trigger that response?
I get you. I get you. But I guess, I don't know, from my perspective, I think maybe the problem could be the drunken assholes themselves. You know, it could be that, you know, it's the partner. It's the person, you know, and it's quality that should be sticking out for you. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what kind of people you sleep with. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it could be that you're not having that bodily reaction because they're not good enough. And it's not because they're not good enough physically, but because they're not good enough of a person for you. Maybe they're just what you need or what you deserve, rather.
Well, this man from last year, I never was intimate with because I just, like, held off on it. Like, hey, wait a minute. Why do I feel this way? Is he really even worth pursuing? And he wasn't at all. I mean, he's a dumbass. He's a broke ass. And I'm really glad I didn't at all.
Yeah,
But it's just very frustrating that, you know, it had to be him. It had to be that, you know. And I'm with a man currently who's very good to me, and he's very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not an alcoholic. And I'm hoping, you know, this will develop into something worthwhile for the both of us. Not just, you know, sexually, but, you know.
Right. No, absolutely.
Other parts.
You know, I think it's really hard for anybody to be able to react sexually to someone who's mm-hmm. a dick or someone who is just not up to par, who's not of the quality that you deserve. And deep inside, you're able to tell if you're with someone, you know, you could tell yourself externally, oh, you know, this person's totally worth it and they're totally everything that I was waiting for. But on the inside, you could be screaming, oh, fuck, let me get as fucking far away as I possibly can from this fucker. You know,
yeah.
And that's hard to tell. Yeah. A lot of times that's really hard to tell, especially when there's other factors that go into it. You know, maybe you want sex. Maybe you're feeling lonely. You want that companionship, whatever it may be. And it's really easy for us to tell those voices inside of us to quiet down and just wait in the background. What do you think, Dr. Rossi? She's out of commission. But yeah, that's the best answer I've got for you. I mean, follow your gut, follow your intuition. If it tells you that someone is just not, something's missing, something is definitely missing. You know, you're not broken. You're not broken. If you know that there's nothing wrong with you physically, then why else wouldn't you be able to have that reaction? However, having said that, that scene that you referenced on Showgirls, fucking nobody reacts like that. I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
Yeah, I know.
Nobody has
that. I know. I know, but it's like, you know, just that over-exaggeration, like, oh, God, this feels so good, splash, 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 seizure, flip-flop, you know, kind of thing, you know.
Sometimes, not going to lie, I used to fake that a lot in the past.
Really?
I totally used to.
I've never faked.
Aw.
I never fake. I'm just totally honest. I just lay there with my arms crossed. Are you done?
That's awesome.
I really want to get to cleaning. I really want to clean up the mess you made in my kitchen. Kind of thing.
Oh, goodness.
I'm joking. It's never that serious, but I think like once or twice I did that.
Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
You're the best. Thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk soon.
Let me know if you need any, like I said, you need any help. You know, you need Dr. Henrietta's wisdom and her PhDs.
Here. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Good night.
Okay. Night.
Oh, goodness. Oh, man. Where were we when we were talking about negotiation?
We're supposed to be talking about dildos and stuff.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, so you've started to have this discussion about what we're going to do. Who's going to be the top? Who's going to be the bottom? Who's going to be the slave? Who's going to be the master? And then, wait a minute, what are we supposed to use for all of these fantastic things that we've been talking about? There's a wealth of things, you know. If you're going to do bondage, well, you're going to need some rope. There's a lot of different types of rope out there. Please don't go to Home Depot and just buy the cheapest shit. I do not want that on my skin. there's there's some really nice stuff at the Pleasure Chest. Real soft, very tender kind of rope. That's the kind of rope you want to start with. Definitely not something that's rough on the skin.
And especially because it's tailored to play. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are into getting rope burns, then go right ahead. Go get some twine from IKEA. It's free outside. You know, you just go with your little scissors and you cut and it's free. But if you're into getting tied, but it's safe, then definitely any of the stores, we do recommend the Pleasure Chest just because they have the classes, they have safety classes. The people there are very knowledgeable. Like whenever I talk to some of my girls that, you know, are like lesbians and things like that and are new to the scene and they're starting to have sex with strap-ons and sex with dildos, I'm like, no. Or even the straight girls that are into, oh, hey, me and my boyfriend want to try a toy. Letting them know there's certain toys that carry a lot of bacteria and can cause yeast infections. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so you need to buy, even if it's a little bit more expensive, buy these. But if you can't buy the expensive stuff, then use condoms. And there's certain lubes that you can't use with certain products because they'll cause yeast infections again. So it's things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, and then also maybe you want to talk about what are you going to wear? Are you going to do some sort of, you know, what is it, like a French maid thing, or will you be dressed as a pirate and a wench? I mean, you know, depending on what that particular scene or that particular play is going to go with, you want to dress the part. Pretend it's like you're in a play or something. You are acting the part. You might as well fucking dress the part, too. I know that for myself, I'm not particularly fond of latex. I'm not fond of that.
You want to be in a big old condom walking around?
I really don't. I'm very dainty. I like frilly stuff. But you know, that's me. You could be very different. I mean, it could be very different for you. I like being naked.
I can tell by the boobs that are staring me in the face.
Well, why?
I've had people text me saying, please send me pictures of her boobs.
You know what? There are pictures of my boobs on FetLife. If you look for my profile, Novice Nancy, there are pictures of my boobs.
Whoa, that was just like out there.
Yeah, it was.
Her boobies, you can see a little bit of nip too.
Well, there's a little bit of nip. It's a picture of my boobies and there's somebody else that's kind of like holding them. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my blue haired friend. I love you so much. And she's holding up my boobs. And that's my favorite picture. But anyways, if you really want to see my boobs, that's where you can go.
They want to see them right now though.
Well, they ain't going to see them right now.
How do you know I haven't taken a picture already?
I didn't consent to such act.
I know, I didn't take a picture. I respect your boobs.
Thank you. So then one of the next things that you want to talk about is how long is this going to last? You know, we've talked about people who, for them, this is kind of just like a weekend thing. So maybe the third weekend of every month, you're going to engage in this master-slave thing. You know, it's going to start at Friday at 8 p.m. and it'll end Sunday at, you know, 8 p.m., whatever. But, you know, there's this defined beginning and there's a defined end to it. There's, of course, relationships that are 24/7, but that's an entirely different topic in and of itself. It's just too complex to even get into for this. sorry. I don't know what else I could tell you about duration of the scene, but I guess we'll take a break right now. If that's okay.
Cool. And then so right now we are going to listen to Fuck the Pain Away by the Teachers of Peaches.
Chrissy behind, it's fine all of the time. Like sex on the beaches. What else is in the teachers of peaches? Huh, what? Sucking on my titties like
like you wanted me, calling me all the time. That Bondi, check out my Chrissy behind, it's fine all over the time. What else is in the teachers of peaches? Like sex on the beaches. What? Huh? Right. What?
What's left to do? I paid for the room. I'm greasy, grimy, two-timey, but sniffing animal. And if I want it, I get it. I eat that ass like a cannibal. I don't care if you think I'm dirty. I am dirty. Learn me. I'm masturbated till my KY faded. I'm exhausted.
It's all over your face. Tell me, how does it taste? When the lights go off and your head goes down, don't let it drop cold two ways. Go to town now, it's all over your face. Tell me, baby, how does it taste? When the lights go off and your head goes down, don't let it drop cold two ways.
Is it all over my face? Me love dancing. Is it like you've been eating paste. I came too close in your direction. DNA on your complexion. I don't care if you scream. My neighbors are all asleep. I shone on the floor when I closed the door, but I left open the screen. Your exact words will rock me, and so I did some bukkake. Don't stop me. Lock your legs in that position. Duct tape on your mouth, so listen. He's out, I'm in, and I want it. If you didn't, why'd you fawn it? You got me under your skin, on your skin. I could come again. It's all over your face. Tell me, how does it taste? When the lights go off and your head goes down, don't let it drop, go two ways. Go to town now, it's all over your face. Tell me, baby, how does it taste? When the lights go off and your head goes down, don't let it drop, go two ways.
Is it all over my face? Caught me love dancing. Is it all over my face? I'm in love dancing. Is it all over my face? You caught me love dancing. Is it all over my face? I'm in love dancing. It's ringing out the same.
It's all over your face.
It's ringing out the same.
Tell me, how does it taste? I should've brought my own sheets, own sheets, own sheets. That hotel was so cheap, so cheap, so cheap. I should've brought my own sheets, own sheets, own sheets. That hotel was so cheap, so cheap, so cheap. How does it taste?
I'm in love dancing. Is it all over my face?
It's all over your face.
You I'm in love dancing. Is it all over my face?
Tell me, how does it taste?
I'm in love dancing.
Comfortably, like hello everybody, welcome back. So if you're just joining us, we're talking about negotiation and how to negotiate doing dirty shit.
Basically, you're going to be putting up a link right up on how to negotiate so they can actually see it in their face.
Actually, there's a lot of checklists out there for people who want to negotiate, and I mean, not to say that you need this checklist, but it's definitely a really good guide when you're talking about doing all these different types of play, you know, just so that nothing falls through the cracks, especially if you're with someone that you're playing with on a regular basis. There's nothing less sexy than stopping right in the middle when you're doing something dirty and saying, hey, is it okay if I fist you? No, let's talk about that before we're in this whole sexy zone. But I don't mean to interrupt,
but I know some of you will probably have a comeback of, you know, we were getting it on and she let me. I understand. And that was maybe like, hey, good for you. You were able to fist her. But if it's going to be anything more extreme, that's why we're having this conversation.
Right. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of a hot topic, consent, but I personally, I mean, if you're in the middle of sex or you're in the middle of something intimate, I don't, you know, using that opportunity to try to ask for consent for doing something, it's just not kosher, man. It's not kosher. Try to have a discussion beforehand.
I'm trying to have a discussion. Let's negotiate. Can I take a picture of your boobs?
Listeners, Dr. Rozzy has been trying to get a picture of my boobs.
For the listeners. So, listeners, I'm on your side. trying to take some pictures, but she ain't letting me. I'm not pushing hard enough.
No, no.
And usually your boobs are a soft limit because you love your boobs.
I do. I do love my boobs. I do. But no. So one of the other things that you want to consider when you're negotiating are health concerns. You know, people have heart problems, you know, they are on medication for XYZ. There's allergies. There's STDs. That's a pretty fucking major one. You know, all,
especially if you have multiple players, if you're playing with multiple people, my bad.
You know, and a lot of times, you know, being kinky or whatever, a lot of these things don't have to necessarily involve sex. They don't necessarily involve intercourse. You know, there's a lot of us out there that are service submissives, and we're not really that interested in. I mean, sex is awesome and sex is great, and if it comes, it's fine.
But she just wants to dust your shelf. She just wants to dust it.
Stop putting me on blast.
Weird. I didn't say it.
Stop. Just stop.
We promised we were going to talk about your serviceness.
Oh, that's right. But wait, let's get through this first, and then we'll talk about that. So, you always want to be upfront about your health concerns, and you know, don't be afraid to ask the person that you're playing with. Hey, are you using these toys on someone else? Do you mind if I take part in cleaning them? You know, don't be afraid to do that. It's your health. It's your penis. It's your vagina. You only get one. Don't risk. It's not worth risking, you know, getting an STD. there are also, in addition to that, there are safety measures that you need to, be aware of. You know, maybe let's say for instance, you're gagged and there's something going on and you're not okay with it. And you can't speak, you can't yell out your safe word, what are you going to do? So in instances like that, maybe it's good to have a safety signal. You know, maybe if I slam my foot two times, that means stop. It doesn't always have to mean stop everything. We cannot go on. This is not okay. It could mean, hey, can we just pause for a second and check in really quick? It could be something as, you know, minor as, hey, you know what? This cuff on my right wrist is really killing me. And then we can go back to what we're doing. But, you know, it's really easy to get caught up and have so much fun because it's fun. It's really easy to get all caught up and forget about, you know, these little things that, you know, could go wrong. You know, there's been those, and we did talk about this on our last podcast, that there has been those instances when unfortunately, you know, people playing around with bondage get left alone, or maybe they're engaging in self-bondage, and unfortunately they meet their maker. And you know, that's, you know, not to pass judgment on them, but you know, you gotta be safe. And, you know, doing that kind of stuff by yourself, not having someone check in on you, that's not very safe.
And then for example, one of the examples that came to my mind right now is, you were just talking about it. Your hard limit is no blood. No blood whatsoever, but there may be people like to do knife play and stuff like that. If you don't know what you're doing and you're just like, okay, I'm going to cut you, right? And then you can definitely lose a lot of blood, really quick with you went over 1 inch when you weren't supposed to.
And how? Seriously.
So it's all about being safe.
Absolutely. Cannot stress that enough. Take it slow. If you don't know what the fuck you're doing, Don't do it. And you don't get to use, just because someone says, hey, I'm totally okay with, like, you know, practicing these, you know, kinky activities, it doesn't mean that they're your guinea pig. It does not mean that you get to go crazy and just do anything and everything that you want to do to them. That doesn't happen. So let's say you've had this huge conversation with all of these things that we've covered. Which is quite a lot, and we may have overwhelmed you with information, but it's always better to have more information than to not have, you know, to be lacking information. So you've gone through this fantastic scene, and it's been so hot and heavy, and you totally went into ecstasy, and just, you went into subspace and had a fucking just, you know, orgasmic moment, or you went into dom space, and you were like, yes, I am on top of the world. And then it's over. You know, we go through aftercare. Aftercare.
For those of you that didn't listen.
Those of you who didn't listen to our pilot episode of Pilot Care. Now, the same thing that happened to you is happening to me. Aftercare.
I'm getting tongue-tied.
aftercare is something that you want to engage in after you've, you know, finished playing, to just kind of bring both people kind of back to reality, just kind of check in and make sure we're all okay and, you know, we're all safe and just, you know, just to fucking take a moment. So after you've done that, it's good to have a discussion, especially if it's your first time doing that particular act or, you know, whatever. You want to talk about what worked. Well, you know what? That particular type of rope that you use, oh my God, it felt like silk. It was great. It was, you know, it was kind of stretchy, so there was some give to it. I didn't feel like my circulation was getting cut off. What didn't work? Please, dear God, don't ever use forks on me ever again, because, you know, taking a fork and dragging it across my skin on my back does not feel that great. We're not doing some Wolverine shit. That's not going to happen. So, you know, little things like that. What should be avoided? And this could be, you know, doesn't just pertain to toys or, you know, certain spots on your body, but maybe
stay away from my butt.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. For you, it would be that. But, you know, what if Dr. Rossi and I are engaging in some humiliation and she touches on a subject that's very sensitive for me?
Like taking a picture of your boobs?
You bitch.
Hi, so disrespectful.
But, you know, she might touch on something while we're playing that's kind of sensitive to me. And while it may not have taken me out of that mind space in the moment, maybe afterwards I can tell her, hey, you know what? That thing that you did, it reminded me of this other thing that's really negative for me. And, you know, it really fucking sucked. So going forward, now she knows what to avoid.
And basically, another way that we could put it is knowing what your triggers are. If, and I'm going to put it out there because I was recently having a conversation of this with somebody because I do trauma work. If you're into kinky play and you're down with this, but you used to get physically abused, like down to the T when you were a kid, or maybe you were raped when you were a kid, or maybe, I don't know, what other traumas do I see at work? Beating, rape, sexual abuse, all of that. Don't get into a situation that's going to bring back all those, because then it's going to be misdirected onto the person that you're playing with. So,
no, I think
if you don't like getting slapped across the face, if you don't like your face being touched, then verbalize that at the beginning. And if it happens in the heat of the moment, then use your safe word. And definitely then you do that. Like, that can never happen again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. A lot of this is really checking in with yourself, because the person that you're playing with, they can see what's going on outside. They can see, you know, how the welts are building up and if they've drawn blood or whatever, but they can't see what's going on inside. They can't tell what's going on in your mind, in your head, and where you are emotionally. And you're responsible for that. You yourself are responsible for that. And this doesn't just go for people who are bottoming or who are subs. This also goes for people who are topping, who are doms. They also go through their own emotional shit while they're flogging you. I mean, it's not just because, oh, okay, I'm taking this pain, or I'm, you know, putting myself in this subservient role that I'm the only one that's feeling anything. No, it goes both ways. It does take
both
two to tango.
Both parties have needs that are being met.
Absolutely.
Like, I have a need to be dominant and overpower you, right? And you have a need to serve, and that's what it is. But my needs are being met in our play. Your needs are being met in the play.
Right.
So both needs have to be met. Those needs are different, but they both have to be met.
And the moment you're not having fun, that's when you should stop.
That's when the safe word comes into play.
you gotta remember that at the baseline of everything, of all of this, you know, it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be fun. And one of the ways to make sure that it stays fun is to have this conversation.
And it doesn't always have to be that the person receiving isn't having fun. For example, like if you and me were playing, you're going to sub for me. Nancy's going to be my sub. And if you heard our pilot, you know, we're going to do some anal play. Mm-hmm. I'm not comfortable with anal play on myself, but I'm like, you know what? We negotiated and I'm not going to receive it, but I'm going to give it to her. And then halfway there, when I have it's strapped on and I'm looking at myself and it's in there and I'm like, oh, hell no, I cannot do this. Then I can stop it myself. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always have to be that the receiver is the one that has to say their safety word. Mm-hmm. The pitcher, the dom, what the top, whatever you want to call it, also can say the safe word.
Yeah, you should definitely you should have a safe word. So another thing that also should be discussed is what should be embellished. What happened during your scene that you could not get enough of, that you want more and more and more and more?
Hit me with the flogger, but not with the paddle.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or get more of the flogger, but, you know, little 75% flogger, 25% paddle.
Mm-hmm. See, there you go. See, that's, I mean, and, you know, after the scene, you make that clear. You make it clear, okay, this is my preference.
Paddle on my butt, the flogger on my back.
Uh-huh. Can you please cane me instead of flogging me next time? I would like to know what that feels like. Next time, can you make it a little bit more difficult for me to get my housework done? I mean, you know, little things like that. But, I feel like we've barely just kind of scratched on the surface of what negotiation is. But I hope that we've given you a pretty good overview. And like we said, you know, once we get the podcast posted, we'll definitely put up some links with resources for you to go to. And
you can contact us on FetLife, as you already put your stuff out there.
Yeah.
So she's Novice Nancy on FetLife. I'm Dr. Rozzy on FetLife. Nancy already has a Twitter.
Oh, yes. You can tweet me.
Is just Novice Nancy.
Novice Nancy.
And Dr. Rozzy will have a Twitter, too, where you can tweet her. A tweeter.
I'm a
tweet. That my spellness came out.
You can tweet my twat.
Whoa. She doesn't know how to tweet, but I'll be tweeting for her. So, and one of the things that I don't think we touched on, and it just came to mind right now, is that during the negotiation process, if you have a hard limit and you tell your partner no, it doesn't mean that you're rejecting your partner. It just means that if you cross that boundary for me, that's going to be a danger to me, my emotional well-being, my psychological well-being. It doesn't mean that I don't love you. Like, for instance, you're my partner, right? And I'll keep using anal play as one. What's another one that I can use?
People are you trying to tell me something, Dr. Rozzy?
I'm not trying to have you stick it in my butt. No. I'm going to stick it in your butt, though. Watch. Okay, we'll just stick to anal play because that's the one we've been talking about. And, you know, it doesn't mean that I don't care for you. It doesn't mean that I don't want to be in this relationship with you, in this friendship with you. But it does mean that for me is going to be, there's going to be repercussions, and it's going to be psychological repercussions on me.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean that I love you any less. It doesn't mean that you're not special to me or anything like that. It just means, you know, it's not for me, but you know, you can touch it. Just don't put anything in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, and all those discussions,
you can toss my salad.
As she looks into my eyes.
You can toss my salad.
Stop playing footsies with me.
Oh, I did. My bad. My cousin taught me how to play footsies this weekend.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, I think we're
wrapping it up. And thank you to all our listeners that tuned in. Y muchas gracias para todas las personas que están escuchando, porque tenemos muchos listeners. How do you say listeners in Spanish?
No sé.
Ay, güey. We're failing our...
Bueno,
our
de todas maneras, gracias.
Gracias para todas las personas que están escuchando fuera de los Estados Unidos.
Ay, qué lindos son. And hopefully, and we'll see, and we won't see you guys next week, but you'll hear us next week.
You can see her boobs on FetLife, though.
Oh, my God. Just stop it. Stop pimping out my boobs, man.
Hey, they're hanging out. They're hanging out.
Anyways.
Also, the show, like all our other shows, is going to be available via iTunes. It's not up there yet, but we're going to get it up there soon, as soon as we get a couple episodes in the can. But great show. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks so much. Thank you. We will be back next week.
Indeed.
Oh! Well, thank you so much for coming and being part of this wonderful film. You're so gorgeous. Thank you so much. I love you all, and this song is for you. I like it when you hold my hand. You are the kind who understands. You are the master of romance, and you are getting in my pants. But if you wanna do it right, you'll have to block out half the night. Now you know just what to do. Lick it till your face turns blue. Our love is ever changing. Off to new landscapes. Open me like drapes and eat me out. Eat me out. Make me shout. Come on and eat me out. Relax and give me head. Keep your tongue and lips that way till you come down with TMJ. Work the front, work the back, and please do not forget my crack. You unearth my buried treasure when you give me oral pleasure. All the joy it will bring us when you're good at cunnilingus. Send me into outer space when I am straddling your face. Steal my heart just like a thief. Don't be afraid to use your teeth for all your dedication.